That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. My plants are happy. That is the best rain for the garden. So I'm sorry it's a dump day, but it's a high day for my garden. And if you know me, you know that's a good thing. Before I begin, I want to thank my friends that came. If I was to invite all my clients, they'd fill the church. So they become my friends, and I want to thank you. I want to thank my Pastor Chetty. Hello, Molly and Pastor Chetty, for giving us the space. And my brother that watches from California every week. Before I begin, I want to recap this week's week of prayer. We learned a lot. We prayed a lot. And on Sunday, Florence and Randy did family. And they did testimonies. Florence told us something about her family that was we didn't know. And like Muriel said, we learn a lot about each other. And then Monday, Bonnie presented a lesson on a church and how we can actually hurt each other. I don't know why, but church sometimes inflict the worst pain on some of us. Then on Tuesday, and we've talked about it several times, Candace taught us something I don't think the majority of us knew, and that was the different schools of the Bible. If you ask most of us, what is the school that we know the most? School of the Prophet. Well, she taught us a few things that we didn't know regarding different schools, and ultimately, where's the ultimate graduation? Amen. We will go to heaven, and we will have a lifetime to learn. Then on Wednesday, Molly presented Reformation and Revival. And the process starts where? In me and in you. Then on Thursday, Malon and Dorrit presented finances. That is not the topic we like most, because it gets to us and it tells us where our hearts are. Where is that? Where our treasures are, there's our heart. So some of us, I heard a pastor say, if you look at our checkbooks and our debit cards, it'll tell you where it is. Then yesterday, we culminated with Glenda and Elishim that did, and we ended up doing an anointing. And at first we thought, well, you can't do an anointing because nobody's dying. But you don't have to die to be anointed. So thank God for that. I want to thank Muriel. You know, everybody has a different gift. And Muriel has a gift of prayer. When she prays, I'm encouraged. And so Muriel, thank you so much for doing that and for being led by the Holy Spirit. Today, I'm not going to do a PowerPoint. I want to point you to your Bible that you're holding. So I want everyone, whether it's digital or hard copy, to hold your Bible and lift it up, please. All the swords, because you will need them. Yes. Amen? You know, when we first started this, Simone and I debated who's going to speak. And I got voted. And she says, well, what are you going to speak about? I said, we can co-do it. And I said, Abigail, David, and Nabal. She said, how are we going to do that? I thought, well, they might. If I do it, they're going to think I'm doing male bashing. No. But I rehearsed this over and over and over in my head. And finally, as I prepared for a whole month, thanks to Pastor Chamie, who can do his like overnight, it took me a whole month. But Sunday, it all came together. And now I understand why God did it. If you read your lesson this week, what was the text? Ephesians 4:26. What was the text on Saturday? I know y'all going to the digital. Say that again. It says, let not the sun do what? A pastor was preaching a sermon, and he preached a sermon, let not the sun go down on your wrath. And a man got up and he says, Pastor, we hadn't slept in our house for 2 weeks. Some of us haven't slept in a couple years. Anger is a terrible thing. Our topic today is how to deal with difficult and angry people. I usually just back off of you. because fire and fire can make a big, big explosion. So have you ever had the opportunity to really stick it to someone? Years ago, I was a probation officer, and I said to one of my coworkers, something happened and I didn't go off. And he says, God is working on you. And I was like, he is? Because I felt like I was the doormat. You ever feel that way sometimes? You don't respond. Somebody made you angry. You don't respond. And you walk away thinking, I just let them get away with murder. Well, thank God that that is happening, because God is working on you. Sometimes you feel like the front door, that they just stepped all over you. But David said it's better to be a what? A what? A doorkeeper, a doorpost in the house of the Lord. And it's not easy, because this morning Simone touched on it a lot. The self in us, it's a horrible thing. And when it raises up its head, we've had many a wars. I read 1 Samuel, open your Bibles to 1 Samuel 25. What's that story? And you can talk back to me. What's that story? 1 Samuel 25. I know it's raining and there's no windows here for it, but we're in the house of the Lord, so let's wake up. And if I see you sleeping, I'm going to call your name, because you know I will. All right, what's that story about? You know, this side, I think it's more old people over here, because they talk all the time. The story is about David, Nabal, and Abigail. The three unlikely characters that came together. What does Nabal's name mean? What does Nabal's name mean? Fool. I can't figure out why his mother named him that name. Only thing I can surmise, he was named after his father. He was a very rich man. It would be like having land in Westcott right about now. You're sitting on quite a bit of money. Nabal was rich. He had a large flock of sheep. And it was shearing time. And David and his men provided protection during that time. Nabal was harsh. He was rude. He was abstinent. And David sent his men to ask Nabal for a favor. What did he ask Nabal to do? Huh? All he wanted to was something to eat, all right? Nabal responded, who's the son of Jesse? Why would I care? I read several contexts regarding this, that either one, Nabal actually knew who David was. Why would he have known who David was? Huh? David was actually gaining some action. And first of all, he says, who is the son of Jesse? David never told him he was the son of Jesse. All right? Nabal says, I'm not sharing my stuff. I actually assume that based on the text, that Nabal's servants didn't like him. They actually didn't like him. You ever work with people or live with people you actually didn't like? I learned a long time ago that you don't have to actually love your siblings. I was like, how's that possible? What I realized they were telling me is there's a difference in liking a character and a personality and loving a person. You love your siblings, but you may not like their character. But I don't think these people like Nabal at all. I believe they probably walked on eggshells. You ever meet people like that? Today they're up, tomorrow they're down, and you're not sure how to approach them. And the day that you're in a good mood and you go approach them, they like a roaring lion. You know what I mean? So I'm assuming that somewhere along the line, this was Nabal throughout this time. Now, Nabal would probably be like some of us and go, that's just the way I am. But last week, if I'm not mistaken, Sam talked about his sermon. Part of his sermon was, the character here is going where? Heaven. So I always tell people, if you think that's just the way you are and it's not in compliance with the way God thinks you should be, you might want to recheck that. Because that's not actually a good excuse. That's just the way I am. The Bible says when a man is in Christ, he's what? So change is possible, right? Or this is what we say, that's just our culture. How many cultures will be in heaven? God's culture. So it doesn't matter if you're Jamaican or African or whatever you are. We will all be one. So Nabal could have said that's just the way he is. Now let's look at character number two. The Bible we quote all the time says something about David. What is it? He was who? He was a man after God's own heart. He was a friend of God. I used to think over and over, how is that possible? David had wives, concubines. He murdered. He committed adultery. David did the whole thing. He was a horrible father. I read that part where Tamar and got what happened to Tamar, and I wanted to serve justice. But David, it just seemed like David's like, well, that really sucks. And that was it. So David wasn't a good father. His own son wanted to kill him. David was a horrible David, what we know David in the Bible to be is a warrior. David fought many battles. So David was actually, for that time, David was on the run and he was building up an army. Actually, if you go to 1 Samuel 22, 1 to 2. 1 Samuel 22. Remember, you got to open that's your PowerPoint. Point to the Bible. 1 Samuel 22, 1 to 2. David was running from Saul. Saul had David on the run. But while David was on the run, something was happening. David was building the Me Too movement. He was building the All the Lives Matter movement. David was putting all these people together. It says, David was, and everyone who was distressed, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered unto him. So David was building a movement. And David was building a mighty army. Because if you were to go, then they did them all these movements, over half of those people are discontented over something. And those people can be fierce. So David was building a movement. And he was bringing all the people together that thought life was unfair. Now, I want you to understand that over time, this was not what we say in Ireland, mimsy-pimsy people, because David's men were fearless. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and 12. Read that when you go home. But I want you to look at 2 Samuel 23:8. It says, these are the names of the mighty men who David had. And I'm not going to attempt to pronounce their names. But one man, the chief, he was called Adino, the Esnite, because he had killed 800 men. Jashobeam killed 300 men at one time. And Benaiah killed two lions and killed the lion on a snowy day. So if you read 1 Chronicles 1, chapter 11 and 12, you will see that David did not, this band he was putting together, these weren't weak men. These were men that you had to be afraid of. And they actually was protecting Nabal's sheep. Of course, if you were out protecting and fighting and helping people. And this morning, Simone talked about self-sacrificing and loving the unlovable, going in debt to help other people, somebody gonna owe you. Would you agree? Somebody's gonna owe you. When you do things for people, do we naturally think, I'm keeping score? And David was actually, this would have been, Nabal owed David. So the story goes that Nabal, David and his men, was protecting Nabal's possession. Now, what is some simple food to send? It was simple, it was food. But Nabal could care less. Some people could care less. Now, I wonder what David, now if you look at that chapter, which is actually one of the longest, most detailed in the book of Samuel, David sends his men to tell Nabal, and he actually tells them, I want you to tell him this. Have you ever read that story? He actually dictates to the men what they need to say to Nabal. Why do you think that would be? Huh? He knew he was there. The funny thing is, Nabal didn't know who he was dealing with, but David knew who he was dealing with, because I'm assuming that if he spent enough time, when you spend enough time with people, you'll know things about them. And I would imagine that the subject of Nabal was actually the subject of discussion. So David thought it was a good thing to send in peace. Matter of fact, he says to him, I need to look at verse 4 and 8. David tells his men in detail to use his name. Why use David's name? Let's see, David. Let's say David was being haughty. David says, I want you to go tell Nabal, use my name. So one, maybe he may realize who he's dealing with. Because if he'd have read in the AJC the other day who I am, he would send me the food. So I am important. I don't know. Maybe David wanted to be humble. Or maybe David thought, I want you to know who I am. You know the thing we do with name drop? If you know so-and-so and I know so-and-so. So David sends them and says, he even tells him, he says, your son David. So David actually is presenting himself, and he actually dictates what they should say. David is actually establishing his status with Nabal. I think Basil said it. He's establishing his status. He had just collected over time, even running from Saul, these mighty men. And he wanted Nabal to know, but the way he puts it, he's coming what would appear to you and I humble. But imagine if he came at a different angle, all right? So Nabal's disposition was a very careless one. Some people, no matter how calm you come to them, no matter how nice you say it, their disposition is such that it doesn't matter. And Nabal could care less. These people that you can want to have a relationship or want to extend the olive branch, they're too bitter. They justify their feelings that not even God can get through to them, because they feel justified in their spirit why they're angry. The spirit of unforgiveness lingers on and on in them, to the point of, and the presentation this morning on health addressed that, illness. You can go to the doctor all day long, spend so much money, and the only pill that he can give you is the pill of forgiveness. Unforgiveness. You ever wonder why you have aches and pains? And no explanation? I read in an article some time back, I read it because a friend of mine, she had a lot of female issues. And she had a horrible relationship with her mother. And I read the article that actually the illnesses that we suffer actually correlates to a specific part of our body. You know that song, the toe bone connected to the ankle bone, and eventually the song ends with the neck bone connected to the shoulder bone. And stress, unforgiveness, and willfulness will kill us. No explanation. When you think about Nabal had a stroke, stress and unforgiveness and all these things as discussed this morning will kill you. When David's men returned with Nabal's response, what was David's response? Boy, he just doesn't know who he's messing with, because I'm finna kill all y'all. from, you know, my mother would say this, tut mun semen bagay. All y'all going down. And as David was going, matter of fact, David was angry. Now, remember what I told you, the way David sent the message to Nabal, it sounded like pure peace. Why would David be angry? Huh? We actually cause those problems for ourselves. Let me tell you why. David had unmet expectations, the root of anger, of some of our anger. David expected Nabal. Now, mind you, the truth is, it was just food. And David had protected these men so that nothing would happen to them. Matter of fact, the men told Abigail, while we were there, they were like a wall around us. Nothing came and nothing left. We were protected. So when Nabal's response was what it was, David said, it's gonna go down today. Of course, Nabal didn't have any idea. David's pride also got best of him, because if we go back over David's history, you could see David had some pride. How many of us start out with nothing, and then we gain a little something, and then all of a sudden the people with nothing are nothing? You didn't have a car. You get you a little car, and you drive past the person who don't have a car, and you turn your head the other way. They should get them a car. So David was building this army, and his pride was hurt. Now, the last character is Abigail. Basil, what does Abigail mean? Yes, a father's joy. You know, I've known Abigail from the day she was born. She just turned 16, and her name actually resembles her. Her smile. So Abigail is her father's joy, and she truly is her father's joy. So Abigail, the Bible describes as Abigail as a woman of good understanding, beautiful appearance, and good discretion. Now you ask yourself, how in the world did Nabal get her? How in the world? You ever see a good-looking man with a not-so-looking good woman, and you're like, how did he get her? But the most popular one is a beautiful woman with this man. You're like, how did he get her? We don't know how Abigail ended up with Nabal, but she did. Now, a servant comes to Abigail and tells her what happened. And Abigail, the Bible says, Abigail began to get provisions together. Now, if you told me, God is still working on me, that so-and-so happened, and my husband did not respond the way I think he should have responded. If any of you know me, you know I'd be like, boy, what is your problem? That's usually how we'd respond, right? Women, especially our more strong-willed women, we take things into our own hand. But here I want you to pay attention to this. Abigail actually does take things into her own hand, but she takes a different approach. Because in this movement today, and that happened, that dude would have been salt. And we would have been sure to let him know that he's less than a man. But Abigail didn't even worry about it. She gathered everything together. And Abigail, now, if you read this, you have to believe that somehow David's fame and what was going on must have reached Abigail, including the fact that Abigail actually worshiped God, because the transaction and the conversation tells you that. So Abigail actually approaches David when David was cussing about what he was getting ready to do to Nabal. She had no standing other than God on her side. So she approaches David, and the first thing she does was she falls on her knee. And she starts what I would call doing the woman thing. She starts to laud him all over. She calls him, in fact, let me tell you, she calls him everything but a child of God in a positive way. She lifted him up and she praised him. She says, surely in vain. No, David actually, David says this while Abigail's approaching. I have protected this fellow in the wilderness. David is upset. And that nothing, David says, nothing was going to be missed that belonged to him because he repaid me evil for good. And he says, may God do so and more to the enemy of David. If I leave one male who belongs to him by morning light, David was going in to wipe out Nabal's entire family. That was the explosive scene that Abigail was walking into. But she acted in wisdom. She fell on her face and she began her speech of humility, honor, and respect. So sometimes fire with fire doesn't always work. You should pray before you approach, and you should be still enough to hear the Holy Spirit tell you this is the way, walk in it. But what usually happens? David's coming with anger, and we're going to meet whatever that situation is, we're meeting with anger too. And before you know it, there's explosion. And if you ask Simone, nothing ever gets solved that way. It doesn't get solved that way. Now, there are times I've gone and want to say, you ever this happens to you? You go and you're saying it and you're trying to be nice and the person says the wrong thing. And you get a flashback. I have a sister, she'll tell you, I just saw red. And red means blood. That means the fight was going to happen. So you don't always want to meet fire with fire, because it's never going to get solved. She came with humility, honor, and respect. Peter 5:5. Look at Peter 5:5. Tell me what that says. Peter 5:5. I can't hear you. I'm sorry, 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5:5. First Peter 5:5. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. Matter of fact, this morning in Sabbath school, that's one of the things we talked about, having the mind of Christ. And he giveth grace to the humble. In the account of Abigail, we witness a woman who remained true to her in humility before her enemies. Even before someone who had the power, David had the power to totally annihilate every thread that lived in Nabal's family. One decision you make can save your family. I remember years ago, we lived in Kansas City, and my husband had a boss that I just didn't think was a good boss. And he said something to my husband, and I told him, I'm gonna go down there to the parking lot and cut his tires. I wanted to go do something. Because I just was in the mindset, if you offend one of my family, I want to pay back. So, but she didn't go with that. She went before someone who had the power to destroy her family, and she came with an attitude, and her move saved her entire family. Now, as Abigail fell on her face, she says, my Lord, this is what gets me. Now, your husband, your friend, your child, whatever it is, something wrong. And you take the responsibility. Who did that? He did that. Matter of fact, this morning in Sabbath school, Simone mentioned, even before we needed forgiveness, matter of fact, he calls us friend, but we are seldom a friend to him. And before we even accepted his friendship, he died for us. Matter of fact, on the cross, when they were nailing him, spitting on all the things they would do, what did he say? Forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. I heard someone, I think it was Harmony, told us that her father told her this quote, before they ask forgiveness, because you have the mind of Christ, you already forgave. What a world that would be. How many divorces would have been stopped and the ripple effect of our children would have stopped had forgiveness been exchanged? How many violent crimes, domestic crimes, would have stopped if fire with fire didn't meet and forgiveness had been exchanged? Abigail's humility silenced her enemy. Matter of fact, David ended up apologizing to her. Now, mind you, I told you, if you read this, David was angry, and he felt justified in his anger. But Abigail met him with a different, totally different approach. Now, David even apologized and thanked her for her words that restrained him, because David told her, I was going to kill all y'all. And Abigail actually ended up being David's wife. I thought there was something not right there. But now, while this was all happening, what was Nabal doing at home? Nabal was having a party, because shearing was done, his stocks was high, and he was having him a good time. You know, the funny thing is, he just didn't know what was about to happen to him. You may think this is just the way you are, or you're justified in what you're feeling, but if you were to drop dead at that moment, where's your soul? Is it enough? Is it enough to feel justified and not either forgive or be forgiven? Is it enough? Is heaven worth that? So he's at home, and Abigail does something quite interesting. Now, I don't know if I could have waited till morning. Truth, tell the truth. Some of you great saints, would have done what Abigail would have done. But I'd have went home and told Rodney, see, if you'd have done this, this wouldn't have happened. Some of y'all know you'd have done that. But Abigail, she actually waits till the morning. Matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, if you're a woman of the Caribbean and you got home, your eyes alone would have told him what an idiot he is. Because you know what we did? One caught eye. Matter of fact, remember when David was dancing, Michelle, his wife, what did she do? She looked at him with disgust. So Abigail doesn't say a word. She goes home, she goes to bed. In the morning, she tells him everything that had happened. What happened to Nabal? Nabal had a stroke or a heart attack. Why do you think that had such an effect on him? Huh? He realized what he had done. Not only did he realize what he had done, God had a plan for him. You know, the Bible says, touch not who? Don't fool. I tell people all the time, I got favor with God. So don't mess with me. Don't mess with God, people who God has their hand on. Don't touch their children, because I truly believe that. So Nabal, his heart, the Bible said his heart died within him, and he became a stone. So, you know, sometimes we don't have to be, God says revenge is whose? So people can do you wrong. Sometimes the Bible says if they want your cloak, give it to them. Because you know that there is a Redeemer, and not that you wish evil on them, but the Bible says it, God says it, let me handle this. And the revenge that he will do will outdo yours. So Abigail doesn't get into all the mix. Abigail, actually, I suspect Nabal died from a heart attack. And when David heard that Nabal had died, now mind you, the Bible says Abigail was beautiful. David says, send call that girl, tell her to come on over here. Come on to Papa. Now, I think that was because Michelle and then one more. So she became the third wife. Yep. Well, she became the wife of a king. Now, even though Abigail was a rich woman, she stayed humble. She didn't set her heart on riches, and she didn't worry about losing her material things. When everything in her life was threatened, she had faith. And she actually moved in that faith. Last night, we talked about that. moving in faith, because I think Glenda talked about the woman with the issue of blood. Faith you move in faith. Fear doesn't have to overcome you. Actually, Abigail, it never says Abigail was afraid, but Abigail had faith and she was humble. She didn't nag Nabal, even though she had the right to say, "You're such a fool." Although when she met David, she says, "Don't worry about him. His name says it all." An attitude of humility and honor and respect actually gives a person boldness. The extent of Abigail's boldness is seen in the way she approached David. She had faith in God, and she actually let God use her. Because actually, that would have been a strike against David had he done that. So God sent Abigail to actually stop David. Because that wouldn't, God never told David, sometimes, you know, we get real big with our shoes, we forget to ask God any consult. I got this. Till after the fact. Abigail was thinking about her enemies. You want me to think about the people that are difficult to get along with and always angry? But if I have the mind of Christ, I will choose to do that. And you know what will happen? This is what I recognize, and I don't know about you. You know the little notion, practice makes perfect? The more you actually do it, it becomes a habit. How long does it take to form a habit? 30 days. Now, there's some things we struggle with. I try, and about 3 days later, I fail. You know, Sam talks about his sins. He writes them down. He checks them off. And then about day four, you start back up at number one. That happens to me all the time. But she blesses David and prays for them. Luke 6:28 says, pray for your enemies. Do good to those, because in so doing, what happens? The Bible says it, not me. Those today, we live in a system that says, don't put up with that. Matter of fact, divorce him. Put them out. Your children, they don't act right, put them out. You don't get along? Our society today is like that. Just get rid of it. Get a new one. I always tell people it's cheaper to keep her. And it saves you a whole lot of starting over, because you're getting the same bag, just different things inside of it. So today's society says, you don't deserve that. You got your own money. You don't got your own stuff. You don't need him. You don't need her. Do your thing. That's not the God way, and we all struggle with it. There's a story told of Standard Oil, who was once the biggest company led by John Rockefeller. On one occasion, one of the executives made a bad decision. It cost the company $2 million. That was back in the 1800s. Edward Bedford, a partner in the company, had an appointment to see Rockefeller. When he entered, the boss had his head over. He was writing some notes. And Bedford says, I suppose you've heard about the loss of the company. And Rockefeller says, yeah, sit down. Let's talk about it. I've been making some notes. Bedford looks over on the thing, and he sees the note that says, points in favor of Mr. Blank. And below is a list of the man's good deed. Now, if any of you work for anybody and you make a big mistake in the company, what's going to happen to you? You're gone. You're gone. But Rockefeller was writing notes, points of favor for this man. And what he realized that on many occasions, now, it would be very easy to tally up the bad that people do, right? That's very easy. Matter of fact, that actually comes natural to us, to write down the bad. But this man, Rockefeller, wrote down all the good. And what kept him from firing that man was he wrote all the good and all the time that this man actually saved the company millions of dollars. So keep record, but be sure to keep the good records. We see that living with Abigail, that living under the cruel hand of Nabal, God actually was putting into her the attributes of a queen. You may be facing a specific enemy right now. This lesson talks about a lot of that conflict, trust, violence. We all face it. But this Abigail story will give you clear insight into humility and how to reflect, not using the world's way, but using God's way. The Bible says the prayer of the righteous does what? Avail it much. And this week of prayer, we talked about a lot of types of different prayers. Abigail realized that David was a holy man that God was capable of, and what God was capable of. Proverbs 9 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. Abigail avoided conflict. It says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. Proverbs 29:11 says, Abigail worked quietly to resolve the problem. And the Bible says, a fool uttereth all things in his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. And that's exactly what she did. She put her understanding into action and actually offered a gift to the man who was coming to kill her whole family. The Bible says, he that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. She actually reaped the benefits at the end of the day. It says, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be to the promotion of fools. I want to close by using your lesson study, because that is what solidified in my mind that it was okay to do this sermon, because I wrestled with it for a month. And then when I did the lesson study, it all came together, because it's dealing with the conflicts, the disappointment, the failures, and the violence and the outcomes of these things that actually break families apart, destroy children, destroy home, and our society right now, a very chaotic one. Monday's lesson says, forgive. That is a hard thing, especially when somebody's hurt you. Says, forgive even if they don't deserve it. Anyone can forgive. True forgiveness is forgiving those who don't warrant it. Matter of fact, little side note is, the people that you have offended you, you don't need to remind them that they offended you. They actually know and expect your condemnation. But the lesson talks about actually surprising them. You actually, in doing so, will save a soul. Because they already know they offended you. They already know that they did wrong. Why do you need to keep reminding them? As if you're God? The Bible says we don't, who do you measure against? You're measuring me or you against them? All have sinned and come what? But we sure like that measuring stick. You did it. You deserve it. Last week in our class, I told them, whatever the issues that happen, there's not only one person involved. One offender might be greater than the other, but there's no one person, because me by myself only offends me. But if the situation where there's more than multiple people, it is a collaboration of people that we talked about relationship this morning. Relationship, it takes two people. You don't have a relationship by yourself. I don't know. You tried that? I don't know. There was a poem we had to learn in high school. No man is an island. No man stands alone. Matter of fact, if that was the case, God would have kept Adam and done, and we wouldn't have been here. Matter of fact, Simone always says, Lord, why'd you have to do this? And we've asked that question. Relationships, it will happen. Tuesday's lesson says, anger can turn into poison that will create pain and suffering in the family and relationships. Anger, remember I told you about David's unmet expectation? Anger is usually the result of unmet needs or due to jealousy. You may not murder with your hands, but many of us have committed capital murder. I've killed a few people over and over. I've revived them and killed them again. And when they look like they're dead, I bring them back up and I kill them again. But I ask God to help me, because on my own, I can't do it. Wednesday's lesson says, a healthy relationship is one in which both people agree to work together. You know, this morning, when Simone was talking, if I agree to be kinder to you, if we're in a relationship, and you agree to be meaner to me, we're not going anywhere. You have to come to an agreement. Stories told of a woman who repeated a nasty piece of gossip about a friend. The news traveled, and soon everyone knew about the news. The woman's friend was deeply hurt. Not only by the untruth being told, I always tell people there's three sides to every story. What are they? Mine, yours, and the truth. Which one do we usually not see? And if I'm not a party to either one of that, I don't have a say-so. I was, like I told somebody the other day, I don't have a dog in the fight because I wasn't there. I don't live in your house and you don't live in mine. The friend was truly hurt about the betrayal, and the woman who first passed the gossip was wounded. Racked with guilt, she had caused her friend, she approached her grandfather, a man of great wisdom, and asked him what to do. He says, buy a chicken and have it killed. On your way home, pluck the feathers and just drop them on the way. When you have done this, come see me. The woman, being perplexed, said, okay, she does this. She does it anyway. The next day, she returns to her grandfather. This time, he tells her, go collect all the feathers that you dropped. She says, that's impossible. They're all blown away. He says, exactly. It's easy to drop gossip. It's easy to hurt people. There's another poem we had to learn in high school. Never let proud words go. Why? Why? You can't take it back. So she says to her grandfather, he says it's easy to drop them, but it's impossible to get them back. It's the same with gossip. It doesn't take much to spread a rumor, but once you do, you can never undo it. But he says, perhaps you can ask for forgiveness. Thursday's lesson was Hebrews 12, 14 to 15. Turn to Hebrews 12, verse 14 to 15. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which none of us will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up because of trouble and you become defiled. I want to quote directly before closing in a commentary on Thursday. It says, right now, someone exists who has disappointment and offended us. Someone with whom we're continually displeased and with whom we're more impatient, irritated, unforgiving, and spiteful than we would dare be with anyone else. That person is ourselves. We're often fed up with ourselves. We're sick of our mediocrity, revolted by our inconsistency, bothered by our own monotony. And when these things happen, we blame other people, or we respond in a negative way towards them. We would never judge any of God's children with the self-condemnation which we crush ourselves. If the Lord Jesus Christ has washed you in his blood and forgiven you of all your sins, how dare you refuse to forgive yourself and others? Friday says, plant love, the plant of love must be carefully nourished. Many of you have plants in your house. Go about 3 weeks and don't water them. What happens? They will die. Your relationships, ignore them. They will die. Don't extend the olive branch. The tree will die. Try to view any given situation not just from your perspective, but from the other party's perspective. Simone said that this morning. So it's not new news to you. It's a choice. You and I have a choice. And honestly, that choice is not easy, but practice makes perfect, till after a while, it doesn't even bother you. You have a choice to decide. You can be that difficult, angry person, or you can forgive and work with that difficult, angry person, because those people are not going anywhere, hate to tell you. If you play that song, Bill. I came across a song from our lesson, and I found it. It had the most beautiful words. Listen.
He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. For
struggled with unforgiveness.
Riches in Jesus, he giveth.
Sometimes we think we have until something happens. If you want to ask God to help you to overcome that struggle, if you have someone that you need to extend forgiveness to, ask God to help you. And if there's anyone that wants to do this over again, the good thing about God, he likes that do-over. If we can stand, if there's anyone who wants to come forward and ask God to give you that extra measure, because he giveth and giveth and giveth again. And he's commanded us 70 times 7, multiply that. And in this day and time, it's going to be harder. And the Bible says you can't run with the horsemen, the footmen. How can you run with the horsemen? Put it in practice. It's not easy. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not easy. But you have to decide and make that step. Please stand. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, please let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, Lord, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. Lunch is being served. You are welcome to stay.